Edward Rushton was the radical, campaigning, blind poet of Liverpool. His life spanned the 18th and 19th centuries at the time of the slave trade, of revolution, and of social upheaval. Forgotten Hero, written by Bill Hunter and narrated by George Sefton, is his story.
Chapter 6, The Sons of Misery. One of the first writings of Rushton on slavery was the West Indian Eclogues. In his time, eclogues were generally pastoral poems, usually a dialogue of shepherds. His, however, were in the form of exchanges between Jamaican slaves and were powerful evocations, all the more courageous in a city whose wealth was being built on slavery. The beginning of one of his eclogues describes a morning on a slave plantation.
The eastern clouds declare the coming day, the ocean's margin beats the varied strand, its hoarse deep murmurs reach the distant land. The sons of misery, Britain's foulest stain, arise from friendly sleep to pining pain. Arise, perchance, from dreams of Afric soil, to slavery, hunger, cruelty and toil.
Then Rushton portrays a conversation between two slaves.
Oh, say, Adoma, whence that heaving sigh? Or is thy yarrow sick, or droops thy boy? Oh, say, what are the woe? These wounds behold. Alas, by them too plain these griefs are told. But whence or why these stripes? My injured friend, declare how one so mild could thus offend. I'll tell thee, Chumba, 'twas but yesterday, as in the field we toiled our strength away. My gentle yarrow with her hoe was nigh, and on her back she bore my infant boy. The sultry heats had parched his little throat. His head reclined, I heard his wailing note. The mother, at his piteous cries distressed, now paused from toil to hush him into rest. But soon, alas, the driver came, and with his cowskin cut her tender frame. Loudly he taxed her laziness, and then he cursed the boy and plied his lash again. Chumba, I saw the deed, I heard her grief. Could I do less? I flew to her relief. I fell before him, sued, and embraced his knee, and bade his anger vent itself on me. Spurned from his feet, I dared to catch his hand, nor loosed it, Chumba, at his dread command. For, blind with rage, at one indignant blow, I thought to lay the tyrant low. But sudden stopped, for now the whites came round. They seized my arms, my yarrow saw me bound. Need I relate what followed? Barbarous deed! Oh, for the power to make these tyrants bleed! These, who in regions far removed from this, think, like ourselves, that liberty is bliss. Yet, in winged houses crossed the dangerous waves, led by base avarice, to make others slaves. Those who extol the freedom they enjoy, yet would to others every good deny.
The friends talk. Adoma declares he does not wish to fight for life.
Oh, think on Pedro, gibbeted alive. Think on his fate, 6 long days to survive. His frantic looks, his agonizing pain, his tongue outstretched to catch the drooping rein, his vain attempt to turn his head aside and gnaw his flesh which his own limbs supplied. Think on his sufferings when the inhuman crew, to increase his pangs, placed plantains in his view and bade him eat.
Rushton puts a note here that this punishment was not uncommon in the West Indies. Some of the miserable offenders have been known to exist a week in this situation.
This life, this slavish journey soon shall end. These festering wounds all loudly bid me die, and by our own sacred gods I will comply. Yes, Jumba, by our of great fetish I swear, this worse than death I cannot, will not bear.
Jumba berates him for being submissive to the unmanly deed. He talks of Pedro.
Thou speaks of Pedro. He possessed a soul which nobly burst the shackles of control. He fell betrayed, but nobly met his death, and cursed his tyrant with his latest breath. But go, Adoma, since to live is sweet, go like a dog and lick the white man's feet. Tell them that hunger, slavery, toil, and pain thou wilt endure, nor ever more complain. Tell them, though Jumba dares to plot their fall, that thou art tame and wilt submit to all. Go, poor submissive slave, go, meanly bend, court thy oppressors and betray thy friend.
How? Betray my friend? Oh, Jumba, cease, nor stab Adoma with such words as these. Death frights me not. I wish revenge like thee. But, oh, I shudder at their cruelty. I could, undaunted, from the craggy steep plunge and be swallowed in the raging deep. Fearless I could, with manchinkle, or knife, or cord, or bullet, end this hated life. But, oh, my friend, like Pedro to expire, or feel the pangs of slow-consuming fire. These are most terrible.
A lingering pain thou fearest, and yet canst bear thy servile chain, canst bear incessant toil and want of food, can bear the driver's lash to drink thy blood. Say, doomed to these, what now does life supply but lingering pain which must at length destroy? Yet go, poor timid wretch, go, fawn and grieve, and as those gashes heal, still more receive. Go and submit, like oxen to the wain, but never say thou fearest a lingering pain.
Thy charge is just. But, friend, there still remain two ways to free us from this galling chain. Sure, we can bid our various sorrows cease by quitting life, or how, or when we please. Or we can quickly fly these cruel wights by seeking shelter in the mountain's heights, where wild hogs rove, where lofty cocos grow, and boiling streams of purest water flow. There we might live, for thou, with skillful hand, canst from the bow and javelin of our land, there we might freely roam in search of food, up the steep crag or through the friendly wood. There we might find,
alas, thou dost not know, the king of all those mountains is our foe, his subjects numerous, and their chief employ to hunt our race when they from slavery fly. Lured by hopes of gain, such arts are tried. No rocks can cover, nor no forests hide. Against us even chattering birds combine, and aid these hunters in their cursed design. For oft through them the fugitives are caught, and, strongly pinioned, to their tyrants brought. O'er vale or mountain, thus where'er we go, the suffering negro surely finds a foe.
Jumba finally rallies Adoma.
What? Tamely perish? No, Adoma, no. Thy great revenge demands a nobler blow. How oft our tyrants, as they stood around, with joyous looks have viewed each bleeding wound. How oft to these, with torture still uncloyed, have they the ebon's prickly branch applied. Vengeance soon will fasten on our foes. Lend but thy succor. Comfort to my soul, thy words convey, and every fear control. Their last cruel act so steals my heart, that in thy bold resolve I'll play a part. Enough, our glorious aims will soon succeed.